Welcome to Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. And today we're going to talk about a chaplain who has a 19-year stellar career so far as a naval chaplain. His name is Wes Motter, and he's an Assemblies of God minister ordained by the Assemblies of God, and yet he's in trouble because he believes in traditional marriage. Mike Berry is with us. He's with the Liberty Institute, and he's the Director of Military Affairs. Mike, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be with you.
Sure. It seems like there's an ongoing assault today on religious freedom from those who say that essentially gay rights trump religious liberty, and yet this is a country founded by Christians for religious freedom, which they extend to all, regardless of creed, yet now we find ourselves in trouble if we believe in traditional marriage and express such a view.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this case really is an alarming, demonstration that we're now in a situation in our nation when the United States government, and specifically here the United States Navy and the military, believes that it has the right and the authority to control or regulate what a Christian minister, an ordained Christian minister who happens to be a chaplain in the military, is allowed to say or do when they're conducting their religious duties. And if they fail to do what the government or say what the government wants them to say, then the government will punish them for it.
So basically, let's say you had a chaplain who was very liberal and they believe that same-sex marriage is fine. Then the government would be cool with that. It's just if somebody believes that same-sex marriage is not right, it violates what the Bible says, and it does violate what the Bible says, right? Then the government's not cool with that.
That's right. And you know, the irony there is that there have been multiple attempts by, or not even attempts, but, you know, multiple acts by Congress in recent years to address this situation, specifically for military chaplains, because they identified military chaplains as being a potentially vulnerable group or segment in the military. And they said, look, you know, we realize that a lot is changing in our society, but the one thing we want to make clear is that the religious freedom, the First Amendment rights of our chaplains will not be affected by any of this. And so they said that they passed a law that said that the military cannot take action, any action, against a chaplain who does their religious duties in accordance with their religious beliefs. And that is precisely what we have going on here. So the only conclusion I can come to is that the commanding officer who's taking this action is thumbing their nose at Congress.
Okay, the law passed in Congress. Was it signed by President Obama?
Yes, because it was part of the National Defense Authorization Act. So it is now part of federal law. And in fact, part of that law directed the Secretary of Defense, directed the Pentagon, if you will, to revise their internal military regulations to be consistent with that law. So you had Congress acted first, and then in that law they said, oh, and by the way, the Pentagon, you better fix your regulations to make sure that they're consistent with what we've just said. So last year, in January of 2014, the Pentagon changed their regulations to be consistent with federal law. And despite all that, again, this commanding officer has paid no heed to any of that. And so, like I said, the only conclusion I can come to is that he's acting with complete disregard and in rebellion to those laws.
All right, let's back up and just kind of give us a thumbnail story of what happened to Wes Motter. As I said, he's a 19-year veteran, ordained by the Assemblies of God, has a great reputation, and has even been involved, I guess, in ministering to naval SEALs. But tell us the story. What happened? How did he get in trouble?
Well, the backstory is much like just about any chaplain you're going to come across in the military. Chaplain Motter would, the core essence of what he does as a chaplain is what's called pastoral care and counseling or spiritual counseling. And this is really where individual service members who might be distressed, troubled, nowadays in the current environment, you get a lot of service members who are struggling with suicidal thoughts or issues and things like that, PTSD, et cetera, mm-hmm. And they'll come to the chaplain.
Post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah, go ahead.
That's right. And they'll seek out the chaplain and go to the chaplain in order to receive spiritual guidance and counseling. And one of the things that chaplains do by practice is they will introduce themselves and explain that first and foremost they are a chaplain and that the conversation is confidential and protected by regulation as a result of speaking to a chaplain. So they don't, you know, the service member can be put at ease that whatever they say is not going to get reported or anything like that. And then secondly, the chaplain will explain that, you know, basically what denomination they come from, because that's very important to know right up front. If it's a Roman Catholic priest that happens to be a chaplain and the service member comes in and is a Protestant of a Protestant faith, well, perhaps that's not a good fit. Or even more dramatically, if it's a Muslim service member and it happens to be a Jewish rabbi chaplain, well, that's probably not a good fit either. And so the chaplain will obviously make it clear up front the denominational background that they come from. And then they often will, well, depending on what denomination they come from, in the case of Chaplain Motter, he's an Assemblies of God chaplain.
Okay, which is a basically conservative, charismatic type of denomination, certainly
right,
evangelical.
Yes, and they fall under the Pentecostal tradition. They certainly would be accurate to characterize them more on the conservative side of the spectrum. And they hold to pretty fairly traditional biblical views on faith, family, marriage, etc. And so Chaplain Motter would explain that to people and say, look, you know, I'm an Assemblies of God ordained minister. So nothing we talk about is off limits. You know, you will not get in trouble for talking to me about anything that you want to talk about. And you can ask me any question you want, but you just have to know that any response I give is going to come from my biblical background, you know, my faith-based background, my doctrinal background as an Assemblies of God ordained minister. And then they always ask, you know, are you okay with that? And if the person's okay with that, then they'll proceed with the conversation and discussion. And if they're not, then the chaplain's duty is to say, okay, well then, you know, let me see if there's another chaplain that might be able to help you that you'd be more comfortable with. And so that's how every one of these conversations begins. And Chaplain Motter, I mean, literally with the amount of years he has in, he's literally counseled thousands of service members over the years. And, you know, never had a major complaint or issue or anything like that. And look, you know, I'm an attorney. I guarantee you there have been people that have left my office after I've talked with them who didn't like what they heard. So the issue is not simply, it can't simply be, well, he told me something I didn't want to hear. Because the role of an attorney, just like the role of a chaplain, is not to tell people what they want to hear. It's to tell them the truth. And so, and really where... what precipitated this whole ordeal for Chaplain Motter is when we had a handful of service members, and I'm not going to speculate as to whether they had any ulterior motives. I'll let others engage in that kind of speculation, but I certainly think it's suspicious that they began asking questions, again, to somebody who had just explained to them, he's an ordained minister, he's a Protestant Christian minister.
Were these people that you're talking about, were they counselees, or were they just people working in the same office or something like that?
Well, they're both. I mean, anybody who goes in to speak to the chaplain becomes a counselee, and it doesn't matter where they work or where they come from, because, you know, his role is not to distinguish
between. But these were people that he met in a session where he was counseling them.
Yes,
they were service members that he was counseling. Okay, okay.
Not, you know, not in his role as a military officer or a supervisor or anything like that.
But as a military chaplain counselor. Okay, and we're talking right now, by the way, with Mike Berry of Liberty Institute, and we're talking about the Wes Motter case. Okay, continue, sir.
Yes, and so, again, I certainly think it's suspicious that after explaining to them that he is a Christian chaplain, an ordained minister, that they began asking him things like, well, an atheist sailor asked him if he believed in atheism. And if I were Chaplain Motter, I would be incredulous at that kind of question. I was like, well, I just explained to you that I'm a Protestant Christian minister, and you're basically asking me if I believe in God, you know? And another instance, a female sailor asked him, what does the Bible say about premarital sex? And I actually talked about this instance in depth with Chaplain Motter, and I said, well, did you read from Scripture or something? He said, no, because he said, I don't just open the Bible and start reading. He said, because I know that that's not always something that makes people comfortable. That's not always appropriate. Some people are not accustomed to that or are not prepared for that. So I always ask them permission first. You know, do you mind if you know, there, you say that there's actually a passage in the Bible that speaks to that issue. Would you mind if we read from that? You know, and if they're okay with that, great. And if not, then he would figure out another way to approach that issue. So, you know, an atheist sailor asks, do you believe in atheism? A female sailor asks, what does the Bible say about premarital sex? And then a same-sex sailor asks, you know, what is his belief or what does the Bible say about homosexuality? And so in every instance, because he's required to do so, he answers in accordance with his religious beliefs, with the teachings of his denomination, the Assemblies of God. And, you know, and not to make this as if, you know, this is par for the course that people get upset with the answers he gave. I just received earlier this week a letter from a young couple. They're a military couple. I'm not going to reveal their identity, but suffice it to say, you know, he's an active duty sailor who sought out Chaplain Motter pretty recently. He and his wife, they were having some marital troubles, and he wrote me a very nice letter explaining that they were really at a very low point in their marriage and going through some very, you know, just troubling times, and that Chaplain Motter was one of the most effective counselors he's ever sought out, he's ever spoken to, and that their marriage has now completely turned around. And he went into details about the sensitivity and care and concern that Chaplain Motter showed. So, I mean, I think that's just one anecdote that highlights the type of person that Chaplain Motter is. And I also think, you know, our listeners should be, they need to understand, too, the way the military works. Chaplain Motter, before coming to this current assignment where he's facing this issue, some of the assignments that he had before this was he was the chaplain at Naval Special Warfare Command. That's the entity in the Navy that oversees our Navy SEAL teams. He deployed multiple times overseas in support of our Navy SEALs. In the military, groups like the Navy SEALs, they have very, very, very rigorous screening standards for people who are going to come work with them.
They're the creme de la creme.
Anybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
They're the creme de la creme, I understand, of the military, like the tip of the spear.
Exactly. They're not going to let just anybody, you know, any old chaplain come and work with their SEALs and minister to their SEALs and you know, engage in highly sensitive, you know, counseling sessions with their SEALs. They only want people who they trust and
okay.
they can count on.
All right, we only have 2 minutes left here to discuss
okay.
this. So basically, Wes Motter has this tremendous reputation, and yet he's in trouble from his immediate supervisor because he counseled people according to what the Bible says, not according to what you know, today's sexual mores in our age of sexual anarchy, anything goes, would dictate. So I don't see how he could be in trouble, though, in light of what you said earlier about the law that Congress passed and the new guidelines from the Department of Defense. So ultimately, he's got to be vindicated, right? What happens from here?
I would think so, but then again, I would also think that he shouldn't even be in this situation in the first place.
You're right.
Based on those laws. So, you know, that's where I think it becomes a mind-boggler, because we should never even have gotten to this point, and yet here we are. So, you know, absolutely. To me, this entire situation boils down to whether or not the American public is going to stand by and watch as the United States government attempts to tell a chaplain what they can and can't believe and do in a, you know, when they're conducting their religious ministry duties, and then when the chaplain fails to do what the government says, the government's going to come down and punish them.
So what can we do? What can we do about it? We only have a few minutes remaining, or not even, but why don't you give us a website? What can we do?
Sure. LibertyInstitute.org. There is a link to an entire page dedicated to Chaplain Motter and our defense of him. There is a petition link on there.
Okay.
We are gathering signatures, and we are going to submit this petition to the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of the Navy, demanding that they enforce the laws that protect religious freedom in this country and in our military, and instead of allowing a rogue commander to violate those laws. I think that's the most important thing people can do right now, is make their voice heard.
Mike Berry, again, with Liberty Institute. The website he referred to is libertyinstitute.org/motterfacts. for more information. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.